Hello and welcome to your GCSE Business Revision Podcast. I'm your study guide tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most important topics on your paper, human resources. Whether you're sitting AQA, EdXL, or OCR, this topic comes up every single year, and the good news is that if you understand the key concepts and how to apply them, you can pick up marks really efficiently. So grab a pen, get comfortable, and let's get started. In this episode, we're going to cover the full HR picture. We'll start with recruitment and selection, then move into training and development, followed by motivation theories, organizational structures, and employment law basics. Then I'll give you my top exam tips, walk you through some common mistakes, and finish with a quick-fire quiz to test your recall. Let's go. Section 1, recruitment and selection. Every business needs people, and finding the right people is what recruitment is all about. The recruitment process follows a clear sequence of steps, and examiners love to ask you to describe or explain these steps, so learn them in order. First, the business identifies a vacancy. This might happen because an employee has left, the business is expanding, or a new role has been created. Second, a job analysis is carried out to determine exactly what the role involves. Third, the business writes a job description, which outlines the duties and responsibilities of the role, and a person specification, which describes the ideal candidate in terms of skills, qualifications, and experience. These two documents are absolutely key, and examiners will credit candidates who can distinguish between them clearly. Fourth, the vacancy is advertised. Now, here is where a really important distinction comes in: internal versus external recruitment. Internal recruitment means promoting or moving someone already within the business. The advantages are that it is cheaper, faster, and the candidate already knows the business. The disadvantage is that it limits the pool of candidates and may cause resentment among colleagues who were not chosen. External recruitment means advertising outside the business through job boards, recruitment agencies, social media, or job centers. This brings in fresh talent and new ideas, but it's more expensive and takes longer. Fifth, applications are shortlisted. Sixth, candidates are interviewed and may face tests or assessment centers. Finally, the successful candidate is appointed and begins induction training. Induction training is specifically for new employees. It covers health and safety, company policies, introductions to the team, and an overview of the business. Examiners often ask why induction training is important, and the key answer is that it reduces mistakes, helps the new employee settle in quickly, and ensures they understand their responsibilities from day one. Section 2, training and development. Once employees are in post, businesses need to develop their skills. There are two main types of training you need to know: on-the-job training and off-the-job training. On-the-job training happens in the workplace. Examples include shadowing a more experienced colleague, coaching, mentoring, and apprenticeships. The advantages are that it is cheaper because there are no external course fees, it is specific to the role, and the employee continues to be productive while learning. The disadvantage is that the trainer may pass on bad habits and the employee may not gain broader skills. Off-the-job training takes place away from the workplace, such as at a college, training center, or through online courses. The advantages are that employees gain broader skills and fresh perspectives, and the training is delivered by specialists. The disadvantage is that it's more expensive and the employee is away from their job during training. Examiners will often give you a business scenario and ask you to recommend a type of training. The key is to justify your recommendation based on the context. For example, if the question describes a small business with a limited budget, on-the-job training is likely the better recommendation. If the question describes a business needing specialized technical skills, off-the-job training may be more appropriate. Section 3, motivation theories. This is a section that students often find tricky, but once you understand the three main theories, it becomes much more manageable. The three theories you need for GCSE are Taylor's scientific management, Maslow's hierarchy of needs, and Hertzberg's two-factor theory. Frederick Winslow Taylor developed his theory in the early 20th century. Taylor believed that workers are primarily motivated by money. He advocated for time and motion studies, where managers would observe workers and find the most efficient way to complete a task. Workers would then be paid piece rate, meaning they earn money for each unit they produce. Taylor's approach is associated with repetitive, specialized work and close supervision. The advantage is increased productivity. The disadvantage is that workers may feel like machines and become demotivated by the lack of variety. Abraham Maslow proposed his famous hierarchy of needs in 1943. Maslow argued that humans have 5 levels of need, and they must satisfy lower-level needs before they are motivated by higher-level ones. At the base of the pyramid are physiological needs, things like wages to buy food and shelter. Above that is safety, including job security and a pension. Then come social needs such as teamwork and a sense of belonging. Fourth is esteem, which includes recognition, promotion, and status. At the very top is self-actualization, reaching your full potential and finding meaning in your work. For businesses, Maslow's theory suggests that managers need to understand which level of need their employees are currently at and provide the appropriate motivators. For example, a worker on a very low wage is primarily motivated by physiological needs, so a pay rise will be more effective than offering extra responsibility. Frederick Hertzberg developed his two-factor theory in 1959. Hertzberg identified 2 categories of factors. Motivators are factors that actively motivate employees and lead to job satisfaction. These include achievement, recognition, interesting work, responsibility, and opportunities for advancement. Hygiene factors, on the other hand, do not motivate employees on their own, but if they are absent, they cause dissatisfaction. Hygiene factors include pay, working conditions, company policies, and supervision. The key insight from Hertzberg is that improving hygiene factors, such as giving someone a pay rise, will remove dissatisfaction, but will not necessarily motivate them. To truly motivate employees, businesses need to focus on the motivators. This is a subtle but important distinction that examiners specifically test. Financial motivators include wages, salaries, bonuses, commission, and profit sharing. Non-financial motivators include job enrichment, job rotation, autonomy, flexible working, and recognition schemes. Section 4, organizational structures. Businesses are organized in different ways, and the structure affects how decisions are made, how quickly information flows, and how motivated employees feel. A tall or hierarchical structure has many layers of management. There's a narrow span of control, meaning each manager is responsible for only a small number of employees. The chain of command is long, meaning it takes longer for information to travel from the top to the bottom of the organization. Decision-making tends to be slow and centralized. Large organizations like the NHS or major supermarkets often have tall structures. A flat structure has fewer layers of management. There is a wide span of control, meaning each manager oversees more employees. The chain of command is short, so decisions can be made more quickly. Employees tend to have more autonomy and feel more empowered. Flat structures are common in smaller businesses or modern tech companies. Centralized decision-making means decisions are made by senior managers at the top of the hierarchy. This ensures consistency, but can be slow and may demotivate junior employees. Decentralized decision-making means authority is delegated to lower levels of the organization. This speeds up decision-making and can motivate employees by giving them greater responsibility. Section 5, employment, law, and workforce planning. Businesses must comply with employment legislation. The key laws you need to know are the Equality Act 2010, which protects employees from discrimination on the basis of protected characteristics, including age, gender, race, disability, and religion. The National Minimum Wage Act sets the minimum hourly rate employers must pay. The Health and Safety at Work Act 1974 requires employers to provide a safe working environment. Workforce planning involves analyzing the current workforce and predicting future staffing needs. Businesses need to consider whether they have the right number of employees with the right skills in the right places. If there is a skills gap, they may need to recruit new staff or invest in training existing staff. Labor turnover measures the rate at which employees leave a business. A high labor turnover is costly because the business constantly needs to recruit and train new staff. It can also indicate low morale or poor working conditions. Businesses try to reduce labor turnover through better pay, improved working conditions, career development opportunities, and flexible working arrangements. Section 6, exam tips and common mistakes. Now let's talk about how to actually get the marks in the exam. This is where a lot of students lose points unnecessarily. Tip 1. Always apply your answer to the context of the question. If the question is about a small bakery, do not give a generic answer about a large corporation. Examiners specifically reward candidates who tailor their response to the business described in the question. The command word justify means you need to give a reason and link it back to the specific business. Tip 2, know the difference between describe and explain. Describe means state what something is. Explain means state what it is and say why or how. If a question asks you to explain one benefit of on-the-job training, you need to name the benefit and explain why it is beneficial. A common mistake is to describe without explaining, which limits you to lower marks. Tip 3, for 6-mark and 12-mark questions, you must evaluate. This means weighing up arguments on both sides and reaching a justified conclusion. Do not just list advantages and disadvantages. Say which side is more important and why, given the specific business context. Tip 4, learn the specific vocabulary. Examiners award marks for correct use of business terminology. Words like piece rate, span of control, chain of command, labor turnover, and hygiene factors will earn you credit where a vague description would not. Tip 5, for motivation theory questions, always link the theory to a practical business example. Do not just describe Maslow's hierarchy in the abstract. Say something like, according to Maslow, this employee's physiological needs are already met by their salary, so the business could motivate them further by offering promotion opportunities, which would address their esteem needs. Common mistakes to avoid. First, confusing job description with person specification. The job description describes the role, the person specification describes the ideal candidate. Second, saying that improving hygiene factors will motivate employees. According to Hertzberg, hygiene factors only prevent dissatisfaction. Third, failing to distinguish between internal and external recruitment when the question specifically asks you to compare them. Fourth, writing about motivation theories without applying them to the business in the question. Section 7, quick fire recall quiz. Right, let's test your knowledge. I will ask the question, give you a moment to think, then give you the answer. Question 1. What is the difference between a job description and a person specification? Think about it. A job description outlines the duties and responsibilities of the role. A person specification describes the skills, qualifications, and experience required of the ideal candidate. Question 2. Name Maslow's 5 levels of need from bottom to top. Physiological, safety, social, esteem, self-actualization. Remember the mnemonic. Please send some extra sandwiches. Question 3. According to Hertzberg, what is the difference between motivators and hygiene factors? Motivators actively lead to job satisfaction, such as achievement and recognition. Hygiene factors, such as pay and working conditions, only prevent dissatisfaction but do not motivate on their own. Question 4. What is labor turnover and why does high labor turnover cost a business money? Labor turnover is the rate at which employees leave a business. High labor turnover is costly because the business must repeatedly spend money on recruitment, selection, and training of new staff. Question 5. What is the difference between a tall and a flat organizational structure? A tall structure has many layers of management, a narrow span of control, and a long chain of command. A flat structure has fewer layers, a wide span of control, and a short chain of command. Summary and sign off. So let's wrap up. Human resources is a rich topic that covers recruitment and selection, training and development, motivation theories, organizational structures, and employment law. The key to doing well is applying your knowledge to business contexts, using precise terminology, and evaluating both sides of an argument in longer questions. Remember your 3 motivation theorists? Taylor focuses on money and efficiency. Maslow focuses on a hierarchy of 5 needs. Hertzberg distinguishes between motivators and hygiene factors. These 3 theories are almost guaranteed to appear in some form on your exam. For recruitment questions, always consider whether internal or external recruitment is more appropriate for the specific business and justify your answer. For training questions, weigh up on-the-job versus off-the-job training based on cost, time, and the skills required. You have got this. Keep revising, keep practicing past papers, and remember, the more you apply your knowledge to real business contexts, the more marks you will earn. Good luck with your exams, and I will see you in the next episode.